your presence. We lift high your name. Dwell among us. 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 Dwell, for you are welcome in this place. 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 Holy Spirit.
All right, we're here to worship the Lord.
Thou art welcome.
He dwells among this place.
Holy Spirit.
Join us in our praise and worship this morning.
Thou art welcome.
Yes, we invoke his presence.
We invoke your presence.
We lift high his name.
We lift high your name.
Dwell among us.
Dwell among us. Dwell among us.
Dwell among us.
Dwell among us. Dwell among us.
Dwell among us.
Dwell among us. Dwell among us.
Dwell among us.
Dwell among us.
Dwell.
Dwell, for you are welcome.
Yes, you're so welcome.
This place.
Yes,
for you are welcome in this place. For you are welcome in this place.
You are welcome in, Lord.
For you are welcome in this place.
You are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place. For you are welcome in
your spirit's place.
For you are welcome
in this place.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
Your spirit is welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
Dwell among us.
For you are welcome in this place.
For you are welcome.
For you are welcome in this place.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, we love to praise his name.
Just a jewel that I have found.
Oh, oh.
Can y'all hear me? Okay, there we go. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter, for our communion scripture. Hebrews, the second chapter. And I would like to begin reading at verse number 6. Is everyone there? Hebrews, the second chapter, verse number 6. You're welcome. It reads, "It has been solemnly and earnestly said in a certain place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you graciously and helpfully care for and visit and look after him? For some little time you have ranked him lower than and inferior to the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. For you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control, but at present we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we are able to see Jesus, who was ranked lower than the angels for a little while, crowned with glory and honor because of his having suffered death, in order that by the grace or the unmerited favor of God to us sinners, he might experience death for every individual person. For it was an act worthy of God and fitting to the divine nature that he, for whose sake and by whom all things have their existence, in bringing many sons into glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect, or should bring to maturity the human experience necessary to be perfectly equipped for his office as high priest through suffering. For both he who sanctifies, making men holy, and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For he says, I will declare the Father's name to my brethren. In the midst of the worshiping congregation, I will sing hymns of praise to you. And again, he says, my trust and assured reliance and confident hope shall be fixed in him. And yet again, here I am, I and the children whom God has given me. 14 is my focus. Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death, he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. God's word for God's people. That is going to be pivotal in our conversation today. The one who had the power of death. Especially when it comes to how we have been delivered and what God is actually telling us in certain scriptures that we're going to discuss. But I'm thankful that God snatched death away from the one that had the power of death And that's why Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and death. And so we should be grateful for that, because to be absent from the body now means to be present with the Lord. Amen. Take a moment and thank God for delivering you. And thank Him for choosing to give you life. On the night that our Savior was betrayed, He took bread, He broke it, and He blessed it. And He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Let us eat together." Likewise, He took the cup, and He blessed the cup and said, "This is the blood of the New Testament. As often as we do this, beloved, we show His death, His burial, His resurrection, and we anticipate His return until He comes again. Let us drink together." Ushers, if anyone is in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior. If anyone would like to come to the altar, they can come at this time. Be praised. From the rising of the sun, from the rising of the sun, until the going down, until the going down of the same. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior, He's worthy to
be. God, our Heavenly Father, the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we call on You, Lord, because You told us we could. There is no other Father that we know of. We thank You for the life that You have given us. We thank You, Heavenly Master, that You're a very present help in our lives. Through many dangers, toils, and snares along the way, You're there for us. You go before us. You watch over us. You lift us up. So, Heavenly Father, we say thank You. We're nothing without You, Lord. So, and we know that we can give nothing to You, Lord. We thank You for being the God that hears and answers our cries. You know all about us, dear Lord, because You created us. And you have felt every pain and sorrow that we have ever encountered. But we are more than conquerors.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, we lean and depend on you. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from you. Lord, I ask you your blessings upon these, my brothers and my sisters. That, Lord, when the laundry list is long and what we want, Lord, what we stand in need of, Lord, we just thank you for, dear Lord, that you've got it under control. So accept our praise and gratitude, Lord. We know that we can't give anything to you. But soften our hardened heart, dear Lord, just to know that you're there for us. You watch over us, you lead us, you guide us, you protect us, you provide for us. So we're grateful, Heavenly Master. You forgive us. You grant us repentance when we have a heart to learn to turn towards you. So we thank you, Heavenly Master. Thank you for allowing us to come out to your house of worship one more time. Thank you for allowing us safe passage to get here, dear Lord. Thank you for every home that is represented here today, dear Lord, that looks to you for stability and peace. Lord, just accept our gratitude, dear Lord, for we know not to pray for, we know not what to ask for. But search us, dear Lord. And if there be anything, dear Lord, that we ask awry, straighten us up, dear Lord, and just continue to show us by our adversities, our trials and tribulations, dear Lord, that you only have our best interest at heart. And then humble us, Lord, to give you all the praise, honor, and glory that only you deserve. We give you thanks. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Jesus is my savior.
to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God.
The highest
give
praise.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Sing hallelujah, saints.
He's such a precious
give
and good God.
Glory to
yes,
God.
Hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah, saints.
Yes, Lord.
Give glory to God. Sing hallelujah, saints.
Give glory.
Give glory to God. Sing hallelujah, saints.
Give glory.
Give glory to God. Sing hallelujah, saints. Give glory to God. Sing hallelujah, saints.
Give glory.
Give glory to God.
Give glory.
Give glory to God.
Give glory.
Give glory to God.
My steps in your word. Show me how to talk. In your word, when I need a prayer, I'll sing. In your word,
show me how to
pray. In your word,
show me how to
pray. In your word,
leave.
your word.
Get
my tongue.
Order my tongue.
In your word.
Get my
feet.
Yes, Lord.
In your word.
Wash
my heart. In your word. Show me how to walk.
Show me how to walk, Lord.
In your word.
Show me how to talk. Show me.
In your word.
When I need a brand new song.
When I need a brand new song to sing. Show me how to
let
your grace ring. In your word. In your word.
Choir, Dr. Jones, Minister McFarland, Brother Terry, our God and our Father, we surrender ourselves now to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. We want to go to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to be looking at three different passages very briefly. Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 12, and Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 3, Genesis 12, and Genesis 15. And I'd like to ask you to keep in mind the scripture that we use for communion because it'll play a part in our conversation today. Genesis 3, Genesis 12, Genesis 15. Does everybody have it?
Yeah.
In Genesis 3, I'd like to begin at verse number 8. And it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent beguiled and cheated and outwitted and deceived me, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, You are cursed above all domestic animals and above every wild living thing of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust and what it contains all the days of your life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now in Haran the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." So Abram departed as the Lord had directed him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. And the next verse is going to be my last in this pericope. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the persons or the servants that they had acquired in Haran. And they went forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, so forth and so on. I want to pay attention in verse number 5. He took his wife Sarai, his brother's son, all the possessions that they had gathered, all of the servants that they had acquired in Haran. So that's letting you know that he left with quite a large multitude as well as a large bank account. I do want to say this when we look at this. Abram's house, we talk about his servants and all of the people in Abram's house. Remember, they were so numerous that Abram could actually gather an army from all of the people in his house to go save Lot. When you can get an army together just with your group, that's a lot of people. And so Abram left with a lot of wealth. He had to have wealth because he had to establish a nation. He left with military ingenuity. He left with all of these things. And in leaving with all of these things, God had blessed him abundantly. And the primary reason why he had all of the things that he had was so that he would not need to make compromises with people who were not godly or who did not obey God. He was self-sufficient, self-sufficient, sustaining, and had everything that he had right there in his hand. Note to self, remember that if God sends you somewhere, he will provide everything you need when you get there. And God provides it so that you don't have to compromise your values or compromise anything when it comes to continuing to serve God and walk in holiness. So let's go now to Genesis 15, and that'll be our last passage to begin our conversation. Verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation. and your reward shall be exceedingly great. And Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am going on from this world childless? And he who shall be the owner and the heir of my house is this steward Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram continued, look, you've given me no child, and a servant born in my house is my heir. Are y'all with me? And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. God's word for God's people. We see it's very fascinating that Abram has all of the resources that he has in order to not worry about anything but walking holy and being what the Lord would have him to be, preaching what the Lord would have him to preach, doing what the Lord would have him to do. So in this instance, the first instance in Genesis 12, God showed up and told Abram what he would do for him. In Genesis 15, he told Abram what he would be for him. And notice that the Lord said, I am your reward. Not what I give you. Not what I provide for you. I am your reward. Which is why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom. Which is why the Bible continually tells us, Jesus said, come unto me, not come unto what I can do for you. Come unto me. And that's the crux of the relationship. Wanting Jesus when nothing else matters. What is also integral, however, is in looking at this, God told Abram, I am your reward. And Abram, we see that he had as many material goods, money, servants, as anyone can have. But Abram said something very strange. What will you give me? It's very interesting because when you look at it, he could not be talking about the fact that Abram had this wealth and did not have anyone to give it to, because we see he had already made preparations to give it to Eliezer. So he had, Terrell, someone to give all of this to. But notice that the question was, when I pass on from here. And that lets you know that the conversation had nothing to do with goods. It had nothing to do with provisions. It had nothing to do with any of those things. The conversation was about death. Are y'all here? Understand, let me give you a little historical background. At this point in time, Abram is moving away from Canaan. When he's moving away from Canaan, understand that Canaan was under Amorite rule at that time. And one of the biggest things that the Amorites believed in was that when you die, the living have to take care of you. When you die, the living have to take care of you. How will the living take care of you? The living have to feed you the last day of every month. It's known as the Kispum rites. The living have to set out cold water, broth, bread, wine, and beer, and set it at the table. And after they set it at the table, that's when they engage in a very short ritual. But after they engage in that particular ritual, they then pour out a libation so that the deceased can be refreshed. That's where the libation comes from. And that's why in the book of Leviticus, the Lord said, don't pour a little bit libation out to anybody but me. The water or whatever you poured out was supposed to refresh the deceased relative or ancestor. And sometimes they would have a pipe that goes into the ground and they would pour it in there and it would go down. But it was supposed to provide some relief and some substance. The meal was supposed to provide something. It was held on the last day of every month, known as the Kispam meal. And why was it held on the last day? The last day was supposedly the day of no moon. The first day of the month was the day of the new moon. The reason why it was supposed to be done on the day of no moon is because that is when night is at its darkest. And the belief of the Amorites was that when there was complete darkness, it was easier from those in the spiritual world to come to the physical world. All of this was in Abraham's belief system. And if they did not feed the deceased person, they'd be afraid that the person would haunt them, that the person would inflict damage, or the belief was, if I don't feed them, all they will have to eat is dust. All they will have to eat is dust. When you see dust in the Old Testament, and it's referred to figuratively in this way, it is talking about the land of the dead. Which is why you already know when we go back to Genesis 3, there wasn't no snake. Amen. The Aramaic word is nakash. That was a divine being. The word can sometimes be interpreted into serpent, but it was a divine being who was one of the beings in the particular garden, which is why they had easy access to the Adams. But this particular being had a supervisory overshadowing role in the garden, even with the Adams, which is why when the Lord cursed the being, the Lord said, now, instead of you being in a position to oversee someone, I'm going to demote you below the cows of the field. And I'm going to demote you below the animals who are in the wild. In fact, I'm going to put you on your belly and make you eat dust. That ain't had nothing to do with a snake. That was an Aramaic phrase that lets you know that the Lord demoted that being from being where he was in authority to now becoming the Lord of the dead. Now he's Lord of the dead, which is why Hebrews said Jesus had to take the power of death from the one who had been given the power of death. Eating dust refers to the land of the dead. And Abram's fear was not that he would not have an heir Abram's fear was that when he died, there would be no one to feed him. It was the responsibility of the eldest son to ensure that they ate at the end of every month. And that's why Abram said, I only have this hired hand to do this for me. And at that particular point in time, there could be certain contracts that would be constructed so that this hired hand, one of the contracts is that once he takes over all of the possessions and all of the things that the deceased person has, one of the requirements is that he must perform the kispum. And so that's why he told the Lord, well, I don't have anybody but Eliezer. Because I don't have a firstborn son to perform the rite. I'm telling you this, telling you the background, telling you why culture is important when you read scripture. Because you've got to understand the culture in order to know the context. And so in looking at all of this, this is why what that conversation had nothing to do with possessions. It had nothing to do with legacy. It had nothing to do with what's going to be given after I pass. It had everything to do with who's going to feed me when I die. Why is that imperative? I'm almost through. Y'all still here? Why is that imperative, Deacon Frank? Why is that even imperative? Why is that noticeable? Why do we even have that conversation? Why were they having that conversation? Why is that something that they need to even consider? Well, because Abram knew that he was going to die, but in addition to that, that's why the first thing Jesus said to him was, I am your reward. He would tell him, in a little bit, I'm going to give you a son. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you don't need a son when you got me. That's why he opened it. I am your shield. And I, not what I got, I am your reward. Do you understand that the most powerful blessing that has been given to you, in addition to the fact that you've been chosen by God before the foundation of the world, is the fact that you have God himself? Something that is eternal, something that will go beyond this life, something that goes beyond this world. That's why that song used to say, just give me Jesus. When you have Jesus, the Bible says you have the power of the entire Godhead in your spirit. Jesus is the treasure. And as he told Abram, I know you got, you made your little plans. You know, I know you made your little plan. Yeah. But I'm here to tell you ain't none of that gonna work. As I told him this morning, that's why God waited until Abram was too old. Is anybody listening to me here? Because Abram was, he was very bright, very smart, as was his wife. But the thing about it was, they had a habit of trying to help God out. You say, sound familiar? That's what you say. Sound for me, got a habit of helping God out. There's something that they don't get in between the let go and let God. There's something in the middle of that that they just haven't grabbed onto. And what it is that lust that we call pride which means I gotta control something. All right, I know what he said, but I gotta be in control of something, which makes no sense when you aren't even in control of your own breathing. When you're not in control of anything when you go to sleep at night. You have no control over your autonomic nervous system. You have no control over the platelets in your body. You have no control over the white blood cells that are attacking certain things that you never even knew were there. You have no control over the fact that when an aneurysm was about to form, God broke that thing up so that you don't have an aneurysm in the middle of the night and don't wake up. You don't even have control over your heartbeat. How you gonna have control over your life? That's why God has so arranged it, so that you won't be able to take credit for nothing. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth forth knowledge. What did the Bible say? What is the psalmist talking about? Every day God is telling you, look around. You'll see who I am. You'll see who I am. Who has given your muscles this morning the flexibility to be able to contract and to be able to extend so that you can even take your first step? All of that. You didn't reach in here and do it. Now you rub something on it, but you didn't reach up in here and do it. And God told Abram, I got your death already under control. What did he say in Psalm 83, y'all? Every day of your life has already been written. Nothing catches God by surprise. And the proverb tells us God has so arranged your days to the point where you ain't going to be able to tell what's going to happen from one day to the next. That's in the book. And he said, why? Because if you did that, you'd think more highly of yourself than you should. And you'd forget to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Jesus is our reward. His presence is our reward. His favor is our reward. Regardless of the circumstances you find yourself dealing with, every day is still a blessed day. Every day is still a good day. I don't care what happens to your body. I don't care what happens to your eyes. I don't care what happens to nothing. The fact is, when you wake up, you've got God Almighty in your bosom. You have the Holy Spirit guiding, leading, and directing you. And you have Jesus interceding for you. There is nothing else that you need. I'm going to close with this. Didn't you notice Jesus didn't say, I will provide all your needs? Yeah. That's right. Did you notice he did not say needs, plural? Right. For my God shall supply all your, not needs, plural, all your need. Right. Amen. One. It's only one need. It's only one need, because you're going to be down here for only a short amount of time. It's only one need, okay? And it's not all that stuff you think you need, because I've allowed you to survive without those things. The thing is, there's only one need, and that's me. That's me. So, as we close, I want you to learn to not be upset. Learn not to raise your blood pressure. Everything that is ordained to happen will happen. And even when it causes you grief, the Lord said, I got you through those times. I got you through those times. How many of y'all know God is good all of the time? Bow your heads. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being our true need. Thank you for choosing to give yourself to us. Thank you for choosing to love us, have mercy upon us, and allowing us the insurmountable privilege of being called your children. It might be somebody who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior right where you are. Just say, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, just ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Spirit and make me more and more like you. And teach me how to walk in the rest and the quiet of the Lord. If there's anyone who wants to join this fellowship, there are cards in the back of the pews. Feel free to take one, fill one out, and on your way out of the sanctuary, please place it in the box in the sanctuary, and there will be saints waiting to get in touch with you so that we may welcome you into this body and have the honor of loving you with the love of Jesus Christ. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, to the only wise God, be all glory, honor, dominion, majesty, and power, not only now, but through the eternities of the eternities. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.